Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. You know, it's kind of interesting because when you talk to individuals, and especially I'll be talking to elders, I'll be talking to preachers, and I'll ask them, how are things going in your congregation? And they'll say, well, things are going fine. Things are going well. We're not growing numerically, but we are growing spiritually. And I think, well, that's great. I mean, that's one of our goals, and that is to be more like Jesus. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you and I look at the life of Jesus Christ in John 20, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, but these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life in His name. And so we strive to be more like Christ. More about Jesus would I know. We sometimes sing that song. And so when a congregation says, well, we're not growing numerically, but we're growing spiritually. Now, I don't do this, but I am tempted to say, well, how do you know you're growing spiritually? I think as you and I ask that question, I mean, how do we determine if an individual is growing spiritually? How would you determine that if you as a child of God, if you're growing spiritually? Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm going to read about four verses. Then eventually I'm going to back up to the second chapter and also going to refer to the first chapter. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul writes, he said, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? More of the fifth verse. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. If you back up to chapter number 1, this was one of the very things that was causing division in the church at Corinth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. It has been reported unto me of you, my brethren, by them of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. That word contention simply means division. Some were saying, I have Paul, I have Apollos, I have Cephas, and I have Christ. And so Paul asked the question, is Christ divided? So then, when he comes over to this third chapter, and he says to them, he said, you are not spiritual, you are carnal, you are fleshly, you are worldly. If you turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, let me simply suggest, when you back up to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, you and I get a little bit better view of this carnal person or this individual who is not spiritual. You and I, now let me tell you what we sometimes identify as spirituality. For an example, if our attendance is going up, we say, man, we're growing, I mean, the people are coming more, they must be more spiritual. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that. And the reason I tell you that is because when you read 1 Corinthians, you'll find that they had a lot of folks who came, but there was strife and there was division and there was envyings among them. So you can't say, well, okay, attendance is one of the things that marks down if an individual is spiritual. Go back now with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'm going to go back to verse number 12. The Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words with man's wisdom, Don't have time to talk about that, but he talks about it a lot, and especially if we back up to chapter number 1. He says, "Which things also we speak, not the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." He's making a comparison. That spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, he's saying the man who is of the world is not, he's not receiving the spiritual things of God. He is not being motivated by the spiritual things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You go out, I mean, it reminds me of Matthew chapter 7. You go out. You talk to some individual about the church and about spirituality and about living right and about doing right. They don't have any appreciation for it. And it reminds you of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7. He said, "Do not cast your pearls before swine." Why? Pigs don't appreciate pearls. They don't care. They love mud. Pearls doesn't mean a thing to a pig. And so when you go out and look at folks out in the world, you may have a co-worker, you may have a family member, and they have no concept of spiritual things, and you can talk until you're blue in the face. But it doesn't mean anything to them, because look at what Paul said. They are the natural man. And so they're dead. Paul said in Ephesians 2, they're dead in trespasses and sin. So he says, "For their it's foolishness to them, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." We'll talk about that in a minute. "But he that is spiritual," if a man is spiritual, what does he do? "He judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, I want to suggest to you, as we look in, I've got five things I'm going to bring out on how to be more spiritual. How can you identify spirituality? This may surprise you. What I'm about to say right now may shock you a little bit. When I began to study this and I came across this point, I kind of said, "Now, wait a minute, let me back up here." And that is this, that a man may be a Christian and not be spiritual. Somebody said, "Now, wait a minute. What? Yeah, how? You know, if a man's a Christian, isn't he spiritual?" No, not necessarily. Let me tell you why I know that. Because when you back up to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, go back over there to the second verse with me. The Apostle Paul says, under the church of God at Corinth, "To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." What have they done? They've set themselves apart in Christ Jesus. They have obeyed the gospel. They have become a Christian. They are a child of God. But then he goes on to tell them that you are yet carnal and walk as men. You have not grown to that spiritual level that you ought to grow to. So we ask the question, how do you do that? How do you identify an individual who is spiritual? I think of another passage of Scripture, and that's in the book of Hebrews chapter number 5, in which the Bible says, in Hebrews chapter number 5, "When by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You have need of milk, and you're not able to eat meat because you're not strong, and you're fleshly, and you're carnal, and you walk as men." Now, every man in this assembly will have to make his own determination. Where are you on the scale? Where are you on the... If we had a scale up here, where would you be on the spiritual scale? You know, we generally judge things from 1 to 10. 10 being the best and 1 being the least. And so we've asked the question now, if I am... Where am I on that spiritual scale? Well, somebody said, "I've been a member of the church for 15 years. Well, that doesn't make any difference. Where are you? There are some folks who've been members of the church for 5 years that may be a 6 or 7 on a spiritual scale, and there are folks who've been members of the church for 25 or 30 years who may be a 2 or 3 on the spiritual scale. Why? Well, they haven't grown spiritually to that extent. So, five things that I want us to look at in spirituality tonight. And that is, these things will help us to understand what are we talking about in spirituality. Number 1 is this. Spirituality is concerned about true values, right attitude, and correct motives. Now, let's identify this. For an example, when you go to the Sermon on the Mount, what do you find? You find the Pharisees. I'm going to tell you, if the Pharisees lived today, they would be at every service of the church, every one of them. Not only would they be at every one of them, but if there wasn't one, they'd try to make one so they could be at it. They would have, they would tithe all of what they had. You wouldn't have to have Brother Gary preaching a sermon or teaching a class on tithing to these Pharisees because it would be useless. I mean, Jesus said to them, "You tithe, men innocent coming." So, when it came to tithing, they were extremely good in that area. When it came to keeping the law, they were extremely good in that area. But Jesus said, "Woe unto you, you are a hypocrite." And so what does it go back to? It goes back to the attitude and the motive. For an example, when he said in Matthew chapter number 5, what do? They do their alms to be, what's the motive? To be seen of men. And so when we look at spirituality, spirituality is concerned about a true value. It is concerned about a right attitude. It is concerned about a right kind of motive. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of interesting. I'll be honest and tell you that it bothers elders and preachers and those who are faithful in the kingdom of God. It bothers them, and this doesn't have anything to do with you because you're here, but it bothers them when folks do not have the spiritual attitude to come to Bible studies and to worship on Sunday night or Wednesday night. There's a way to get them here. We could fill our building on Sunday night if we had some kind of spiritual entertainment down here, if we had some kind of a group down here singing, we'd fill this building up. They'd come. And so the attitude. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, in a spiritual person, his motive is, I think of what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And he said there that in to sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He said, don't let that motivation be. He said, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he said, don't let your motivation be something of that nature, but you sing out of the heart, and you sing with melody in your heart to the Lord. So a spiritual individual, ladies and gentlemen, has the right motive. He has the right attitude. He's not there to be seen of men. I remember several years ago, a lady came to me on about someone attending the service of the church. And she was quite upset because this person hadn't been at a certain service. Well, this lady had been at that service. But was she a spiritual lady? Well, maybe not. Because let me tell you why I question whether or not she was. Because her attitude was, I'm watching you. And if you're not there, there's something wrong with you. Well, see, she had no way of knowing why that person wasn't there. And so, when you and I, as spiritual individuals, we are concerned about the attitude, about the real purpose, and about what we are striving to do. Number one, spirituality is concerned about true values, the right attitude, and the correct motives. Number two, spirituality can be tested. Now think about this. You can test spirituality. Well, so I said, how are you going to do that? I would like to do this just for information sometime. I'd like to pass out a sheet of paper to the adult auditorium class and ask some questions. How many books in the Bible? I don't know. Can you, as a member of the church, if you ask this question, number 1 through 5, and out beside that, put the plan of salvation and Scripture go with it? Well, somebody said, I know you got to hear and believe and repent and confess and be baptized, but I'm not man, preacher, I have a hard time remembering Scripture. Okay, would that be a determining factor? Okay, we're going to test. And we ask, okay, we're going to take this test. How many of us could name, tell the books of the Bible, the 66 books in the Bible, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, and I can begin with Genesis, and I can go all the way through the Revelation, and I can name, we can get the boys and girls, they can do that. They can sing the song, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and the letter of the Romans, and they know them. Are they spiritual? Let me give you a test on how you can determine spirituality. Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 24, 25, and 26. The Bible said Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now there's your test. Had you and I rather be out here with the world? Oh, we like the elder brother of Luke chapter number 15. You remember? He accused his brother. He accused his brother of wasting all of his money with harlots. He had no way of knowing that. You know what? That's what he thought he'd do. Well, Daddy, give me my inheritance. Man, I'd been out there running around. Man, I'd had me a whole harem of women. See, his brother came back. He was jealous. Was he spiritual? He was angry. He was jealous. He was judgmental. And so when you test this, am I spiritual? When I'm spiritual and I have a decision to make, and part of that decision, here is something going on in the world, and here is something going on at church, which one am I going to choose? And so you and I look, we can determine, we can run a test. Look at what Paul said. Turn your Bibles with me. I want you to look at this. In the book of Acts, chapter number 20, and I think this will help us to understand as we ask ourselves a question. Go down to verse number 24 of Acts chapter number 20. Paul is meeting with the elders at Ephesus. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And there's great concern about what's going to happen to him when he goes to Jerusalem. Well, look at verse number 24. He said, but none of these things move me. Now watch this. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I'm not moved by this. They said, Paul, you go up there to Jerusalem, and they're going to bind you, and they're going to do all manner of things. Paul said, I do not count my life dear unto myself. I'm going to preach a sermon in a couple of weeks on the subject of homosexuality. Now, I realize that out in the world, I'm not going to get great kudos for that. I'm not going to have the world calling me up and saying, wow, man, that's marvelous. If anything, they'd say, wait a minute, he is inciting hate. But now, ladies and gentlemen, keep this in mind. You test spirituality by whether or not, when you and I have a decision to make, that we make it for righteousness and goodness as opposed to unrighteousness. So Paul was tested. He said, I don't count my life dear unto myself. And I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. He said in Romans 1, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. So how do you determine? How if we're going to be more like Jesus, then what do we need to do? We need to recognize that spirituality can be tested. Number 3, spirituality is seen in how we view sin in our lives. See, how do I look at sin? Well, my brother, hey, I'm a sinner. We all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. I know I'm a sinner, But do I weep over my sin? Do I recognize that I need to make a change somewhere in my life with sin? How do I view that? Well, now, Brother Acuff, everybody sins. Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. But Paul also made this statement. He said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind and looking forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How do I view sin? Have I become if you want to go camping and if you want your matches, and I may have mentioned this, and you want to take matches and you're afraid they get wet and you can't use them, take these big stick matches and melt you a stick of paraffin and stick them down in that, and they'll paraffin them. When you get ready to use them, it doesn't matter how wet they get, they'll strike because you've covered them over with paraffin. Have we been covered over with paraffin with sin? And we look at it and we say, well, that's all right, that's bad. And so the spiritual person, he looks at sin, this will damn your soul. I need to make a correction here. I need to do something about my life. Because sin will cause us to be lost. And Jesus died in order that I could be saved from my sin. Number four, a spiritual person has discernment. Spiritual person has... Go back with me. 1 Corinthians. Go back over there with me a second. I want to show you something. Back up. In that second chapter, notice this. He says in verse number 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. See? Back up down to verse 14, the last line there. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In my notes, I wrote down the book Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You and I need to be able to discern spiritually. We need to be able to discern. There are some things, ladies and gentlemen, we just need to stay away from. We need to be able to discern there are some people we need to stay away from. Oh, somebody said, well, now, Brother Acuff, shouldn't we love everybody? Yeah. Love means that I want the best for them. And so when you and I look at spirituality, a spiritual person says, look, I've got to be careful. I've got to learn to identify these things here. They're not going to be right. And then follow the pattern of the New Testament following that. Number five. A spiritual person is faithful to a commitment. A spiritual person is not wishy-washy. You can depend on that person. You know, in Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible says that there are some who are tossed about to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, a spiritual person is a person who is committed to a trust. And I thought about Paul's passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful brethren, that they may be able to teach others also. So spirituality... You see, if I am a spiritual person, I am committed to a trust. That is the trust of the gospel. And the world may do something out here, but I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I'm spiritual. I'm not fleshly. I'm not one of these men. I'm not envious and jealousy. I'm not trying to parcel everybody out. Because I am a spiritual discerner and committed to a trust. Paul said, Galatians 6, verse 1 again, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. But you see, a spiritual person learns how to deal with those who are not faithful. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at this, and we look at what we're trying to accomplish in our lives, in our spirituality, that you and I recognize the fact that to be that spiritual person, that there are some qualities that we need to develop.